96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd. That's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. It is Tuesday. As you know, Aaron, even though you forgot, every Tuesday we have a continuous series with Uncle Sora, Reverend Doctor. No, didn't correct him because he's not a Reverend Doctor. He's actually a doctor, a PhD doctor of critical what?
Theology.
Critical theology. All right. He's the Reverend Cleveland Aeneas III. He's on his way here. Oh, he's walking through the door right now. A little tardy.
Darn.
But yeah, can imagine because that's going to have you continue reading.
You know, once the session starts, when we can't talk in the church,
can imagine,
man.
Can imagine. Today's topic is going to be interesting. I just sent Kermit a video I want him to play. I'm having him cue that up. And in the meantime, I'm going to have Uncle, close the door there, Uncle, for me, please. Have Uncle set up. Have Uncle set up in the meantime to get everything ready. But as we prepare, Aaron, I'll engage you, right? There's a lodge. I'm not sure you're aware of the lodge, even though you had a lodge jacket of some sort.
No.
You didn't have a lodge jacket?
I go camping in the forest. There is a lodge.
Everyone seems to be afraid of the lodge. Every time I mention the lodge, the lion.
You ain't never watch a movie, but people, young people go camping in the forest.
Ain't that type of
and
lodge.
There's a lodge.
It ain't that type
it
of lodge.
It is scary. Every movie I watch is a problem.
It's not that type of lodge I'm talking about. I'm talking about the African lodge, the cryptic lodge, the Coptic lodge, in general. So I want to have a discussion on that.
Does a Coptic lodge?
I can find that out right now. I can find that out right now, right? What you doing, Uncle? You supposed to be preparing for the show. You got to take it downstairs. No problem.
220. Huh? 220.
Yeah. So that means I got to talk in the meantime. So, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
As Uncle do husbandly duties and speak to his wife, you got to run back downstairs. Right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you the opportunity to read your article. I also have a clip I want to play, but I want Uncle to listen to that. So I don't want
until
to start that program.
Let me read some texts from the second half for people whose texts we didn't get into the conversation. The first text, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have a difficulty. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
No. But yeah, the mic is on though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can hear you. All right, so first text, notice we didn't have a number of usual PLP suspects calling on this matter. It's a big one. Public disclosure is a big, big one. Another text, if you disclosed, it may just be my headphones, if you disclosed, you would be proud to say you did. The rest are just Dodgers and another text. And where does the $10,000 go? Good morning. We would know where it goes if we ever got it. I'm not sure. And in all my searching, I haven't found a documentation of someone being charged with this offense of not making a proper declaration or not making a declaration at all. So I don't know. We'd have to test it. I think we should test it. Mm. I think it's been 3 years straight under this PLP administration that we've not had the proper disclosures. But back to the point that we sort of left off on, which is the modernization of public disclosures. The article, Move to Modernize Public Disclosures in the Nassau Guardian on the 28th of February, is where Bishop Victor Cooper indicated that after traveling to Grenada for, I imagine, a conference on this subject matter, he realized why we were so behind. But I want to read this excerpt. In 2015, an Organization of American States report noted that the Public Disclosure Commission lacked technological tools to carry out its functions. At that time, the commission was using the following machines in the execution of its functions. You ready?
I'm listening.
One adding machine
which in the is whole not, department.
Yeah, which is not a calculator. Mm-hmm. Or else they would have called it a calculator. Mm-hmm. Two word processors.
Not computers, but word processors. That's a different thing. Because I had a word processor when I was in college.
That's like a junior.
It's like a typewriter with a screen.
Yeah. And a fax machine.
Nobody uses fax. But apparently government workers use it still. Because normally people scan and email.
Yeah.
But they have a fax. Go ahead.
I wonder if fax is still safer than email. That was 2015. It's now 2024. So we're talking about 9 years ago. And the current commissioner is complaining of the same thing. In fact, he thinks that that justifies the lack of gazetting. But you don't need a computer to gazette. You just need to submit. Anyway, I'm being bougie, but what people need or don't need, the point is this, more importantly, that a computer, a new adding machine, a top-of-the-line fax machine, that doesn't make the information publishable online. It has to be gazetted before you can upload it to your online portal. The issue is the lack of gazetting. And even with an adding machine and two-word processors, you have essentially 12 months. You have essentially, let's be conservative, you have 11 months to tabulate this information.
Remember, it's not necessarily tabulation, though. It's just recording what is given, because it's not like the information is interrogated or challenged. If you say you only make $200, that's what they enter in. There's no challenge of it.
Right, but the challenge comes when the information is gazetted and the public can view it, and then the public can launch a challenge.
Yes, but I'm talking about the commissioner's job,
yeah,
not the subsequent of the commissioner's job.
I wonder if he understands what the nature of the problem is. He still has to wait for it to be gazetted before his staff can upload it.
I conclude that the commissioner is incompetent. And if he is incompetent, he needs to be terminated. And every year we go through the same discourse, and nobody is demanding that the commissioner be terminated for incompetence.
I see your guest has arrived, just to close out the session.
No, I'm still making sure he gets suited.
I want to know how many adding machines and word processors you need to spell out plausible deniability. That's it. That's all I need to know. Forget gazetting the public disclosures. Forget the fact that Kingsley Smith declared that he had no bank accounts. He had none, no bank accounts whatsoever, as the immediate former chief passport officer. He had none.
Should we be concerned that the chairman of disclosure does not have access to a computer, that he's still using a word processor, and that his entire department has two word processors, and that they have one adding machine, not a calculator?
I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is it appears that every time he leaves town, or he leaves the office shut down. There's nobody there to answer any questions.
I wonder if they know that Excel has a spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet does calculations. You don't tabulate via ad machine anymore.
Can you use Excel on a word processor? Excel is numbers. Word processor is words, Cecil.
Good point. Anyway, we transition now. Our guest, Dr. Cleveland Enius III, is in-house. Reverend Cahoon is the proper name for the Christian religion that he follows, which is the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. And check on Anku's mic. It's not turned on there, Kermit. Anku's mic. But go ahead, Anku.
Yes,
I'm not hearing him yet. Go ahead again. Yes,
check,
I can hear you now.
Yeah. All right, beautiful. Good morning, and Namastu, which means I bow to the divinity in you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Cahoon Anku Sarah. I am the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Barsesh, or Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. It is a pleasure to be here.
Yes, I know you had family difficulties coming in, but and family comes first, so I understand that.
Yeah, really that. Yeah, life doesn't stop.
Yes. Yeah. Kermit, do you have that thing I'm queued up so I can actually play it so Uncle could respond to what is we're going our topic for today? We're talking about the Lord today. I'm warning you, pre-warning you.
Right? Okay, yes.
But no, we ain't started yet. I have my queued up thing. I'm just trying to make
no
sure.
No worries.
Okay, so now.
There's only a few real Freemasons that exist. In other words, when I say a few, I'm talking about maybe a few hundred, maybe at the, you know, at the top level that really, really know the ancient secrets. This goes all the way back to deep, deep antiquity. We're talking about 30,000 plus years ago. There were these brick masons in ancient Kemet called the Shittu. After the great flood, Amun-Ra, aka Marduk, he's known as Marduk in the Bible, M-A-R-D-U-K. Kemet, he was known as Amun-Ra, but he had these brick masons helping him rebuild the land of Kem. And these brick masons had the secret knowledge of space flight technologies, how to turn stone structures into advanced computer housing, data storage devices, as well as power generators and many other functions. A lot of the stone structures that were built were actually multifunctional stone computers. If you're going to a place where you only have limited resources, that you can't take a factory and a whole bunch of workers with you, what do? You learn how to work with what's there. And they mastered stone masonry, but they also encoded and embedded a lot of the wisdom and knowledge from the ancient Egyptian mysteries and the Kemetic mysteries into the structures. Now, these Freemasons were called Shittu. As a matter of fact, the Shittu helped Amun-Ra escape. In the last, there was a pyramid war. There were two pyramid wars. The second pyramid war in the tablets talks about the fact that the Shittu helped Amun-Ra escape through a hidden passage in one of the pyramids. And before he left, he decreed he would leave the kingdom to his Ra-Kam. Ra-Kam, K-A-M, translates now into shield. Kam translates into shield, Ra-Shield. Over time, it became Rothschilds. And so this decree came down tens of thousands of years ago. Who's the richest family on the planet worth $700 trillion combined net worth? The Rothschilds.
What's the deal with the Freemasons?
That sounds a lot of scientific and sci-fi to me. It doesn't really sound real. But there's such a thing as a Freemason. We have a number of Freemasons here inside the Bahamas. In fact, the leading Freemasons, besides the Irish, the Scottish, the English Freemasons, there's also a black Freemason will be the Prince Hall and the Prince Hall affiliates. And, of course, there are groups called some fellows, young fellows.
Odd fellows.
Odd fellows, forgive me for that. Odd fellows and various other variations. But there is such a thing as an African Freemason. Mm-hmm. So I say, if there's such a thing as an African Freemason, and I say, isn't that Paul? Not Paul. My mind just went blank.
Hiram?
No, the group I just called just now.
You said, you mean in terms of the Masons?
Yeah, the Masons, the black one.
Oh, Prince Hall.
Prince Hall. Yeah. I just for the reason my mind went blank. Mm-hmm. When I was asked if the African Freemasonry is the same as the Prince Hall, I was told no. I said, no, man, Prince Hall is African. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me bring Brother Anku on the radio. Since we're talking about the Coptic Church and religions, surely Freemasonry has come up in his religion in general. And I want to ask you the first question. Is there such a thing as an African Freemasonry? And is there such a thing as African Freemasonry? Does the Freemasonry here in the Bahamas, by extension the world, these English, the Scottish, right, what is Irish?
New York.
Yeah. And are they a part of that African Freemasonry? That's the question. Sorry.
So let me answer the second question first. No, they are not a part of the African Freemasonry because they're under the charter of the Lodge of England and Westminster, which they say was chartered in 1717, June 24th, 1717. What we as Africans had as our societies and excuse me, what we call sacred societies, go back way before 1717. In fact, you can do research on societies in West Africa. They have a female society called the Sandi Society. They were called the Zoru because they studied what they would refer to as the Zodiac or the Dendera. And then you had the male equivalent of that society called the Poro Society. And this comes out of Mandilan, or what they call West Africa today. You have the societies coming out of Seville, out of North Africa in Spain or related to the North African societies in Morocco. Ultimately, you have these societies coming out of Nubia and Aswan in Sudan in the Nile River Valley. This is where these societies ultimately started from. What the Greco-Romans have successfully done is they have created a version similar to what they did in religion of these societies. They use the tools, they use the understanding that they had gained from sitting at the feet of these societies, whereby the term Maison or Maison is a French word that means my son or my child, because these people who were coming to sit at our feet, they knew very little of universal knowledge. And so they were given 3 degrees, and some people would say they were given 2 degrees, and they made up the third one, out of 9 degrees, all right? These 9 degrees break down into 720 degrees. Now, where do you see these 720 degrees today? When a person graduates from whether it's high school or your associates, your bachelor's, you have a cap on with the gown. That cap has 4 corners. It's a square. And the portion on the head is a circle. 360 degrees of physical knowledge, 360 degrees of spiritual knowledge. A square is 360 degrees. A circle is 360 degrees. We have been given the rudiments of this ancient knowledge, whereby our education system is somewhat based off of it, insofar as when you graduate, you are called an alumni or an illuminated being, Illuminati. All right? Ultimately, what we're dealing with in terms of Freemasonry today is the European version of it. However, when you go into the Grand Lodge in London, everything in there is black. They're black. I haven't personally been in there yet, but I know Basesh has been in there, and we'll address the realities of the Grand Lodge at some point. But the reality is that there definitely were societies that had the secrets or that which is sacred. And we see it again in this reality of what they refer to. That was Billy Carson that you played earlier. And of course, the thing with Billy Carson is I rarely hear him give any references to where he's getting the information from. So that's kind of helpless if you're trying to raise the people to think for themselves. I just think it's fair to give the references as to where you're getting this information from so people can go and research it themselves. Now, he may do it, but I just haven't seen it. So if he has done it, you know, forgive me, but I just haven't seen it. The square and the circle, again, you see this in when they talk about the pyramids of a square base. When you go into Sumeria, and they talk about the ziggurats. Many of the ziggurats, or most of them, have a circular base. So what we understood as this sacred knowledge was the bringing together of that which was sacred in ancient Egypt and that which was sacred in Kushite Babylon, whereby when you brought those two levels of information together, you would have this 720-degree level of information. This degree of 720 degrees within Freemasonry today, some would refer to that as a Melchizedek, 33 degrees over 720 degrees. Now, with regard to the Holy Coptic Church and our way, or our sacred society, which is called the Asarian Wa Asetian Society, Awas. This Awas society in scripture is called the Nazarite Society, or those who subscribe to the rites of Nazar or Asar. Back to this Asaru again. This Asaru, who was a polymath, or he was a master of many different disciplines, who had matriculated through the four universities of Anu, Nut, Khemenu, and Hetketa, these four cities along the Nile River Valley. He would have created or taught what becomes the three groups of 12 royal tribes. There's three groups of 12 royal tribes is seen in scripture today and is related to what you call Freemasonry today outside of this tribe called Yasuf, or what they say Joseph. All right, I'm just going to read a portion of a publication from the Holy Coptic Church called The Original 12 Tribes, and it's under the heading of Yasuf. And this Yasuf, as a branch or root seed from amongst the 12 original 12 tribes, were the genetic children of those that were originally citizens of the land of Hut Waret or Abydos, and further on down into Karnak. So when you read the book of Isaiah chapter 19, and they talk about this Lord coming into the land, they talk about the burden of Egypt, and they talk about this Lord who was coming upon a swift cloud. They really were talking about the Ptolemies invading five of those lands in what is called Africa today. You see this in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 18. It says five lands of that land of Africa would speak the language of Canaan. All right, so these were the Canaanites. This Joseph, who they're referring to in the Greco-Roman tradition or religion or sacred societies, is none other than Ptolemy. All right, his predecessor. So let me say it this way: in religion today, we learn about Jacob, and they say Jacob has these 12 sons. One of them is Joseph. The Joseph within the Greco-Roman teachings is none other than Ptolemy Soter. He is this warrior savior. He is coming into these lands, and he's seeking the secrets, right? So let me go back to reading. Their tribal leader, the tribe of Yasuf, was the ruler Sen-Ak-En-Re, or Sekenen-Re Tau II, who, as the grand master, the high priest and prophet of the Kanisa at Dendera, this church at Dendera, they would say Hut Waret. They would also talk about the house of Hathor. He kept the sacred word a secret, protecting it from the Canaanite Hyksos, who sought it in order to gain control over the very genetics and minds of all members of humanity in varying degrees of genetic potency. As such, within the Europeans' interpretation of modern Freemasonry, he is called Hiram Abiff, taken from this Tamaraic lodge titled Ka Re Yim Abi. So Hiram Abiff comes from Ka Re Yim Abi, or our ruler possesses the spiritual personality of the Father and his hosts, whereby he was assassinated, having never revealed the sacred password. Sen-Ak-En-Re, he had two sons, Amos and Kamos, as the sons of Sen-Ak-En-Re were actually the progenitors of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, so Ephraim and Manasseh, that did merge with Yehuda. All right, so this Sekenen-Re, this tribal leader, he was responsible for bringing together the 12 original tribes, which becomes the 12th dynasty in Egyptology. And he was saying to them, as we're saying now, let us bring the various scriptures of the various tribes together and put them together at one, whereby we will have our scriptures unified so that our people can be unified. So this idea of a African Freemasonry goes back to what we call the Nazarite, or the rites of Asaru, or at-oneism or atonism.
It still sounds a lot of sci-fi-ish.
Okay. Remember when Putin opened up the vault, like, last week?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, he was being petty.
Yeah.
It's like a proxy war.
Yeah.
He wanted to upset the Western Orthodox.
Oh, by the way, all these people are black. Right. Yeah.
Putin actually revealed some of the most ancient and treasured icons, religious memorabilia and documentation and relics. And they look like you, Cecil.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it would now would it make sense? See, because I read about Hiram Abiff and the book Hiram's Key, and then the other four, there may be five or six that follow in the sequel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now that you know that these Bledem were African, does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. So this way, and that's a good question, Aaron, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are English Lodge, there are Irish Lodge, and Scottish Lodge, mm-hmm. right? I know that Prince Joachim in like a grandfathered in because of racism, right? Mm-hmm. American concept, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out where did they get their information from, narrative.
Who get the information from?
The Anglo Lodges. Right? And why do we need to be grandfathered in to their Anglo-oriented lodges?
We don't have to be grandfathered in. We
don't know about the African lodges.
Well, again, this is why we need to know. This is why we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to do the research. Again, you can go to the Grand Lodge of England. You can see where they got it from. Everything in there is black. Just like
Does church lodge have from. A meaning? Because I know Aaron and I were making jokes spot over the term lodge, the place that someplace live. What does the term lodge mean?
Well, I mean,
what about the secret society, the secret messages? Is that a real thing? Or just people just making up these
cabinet,
stories?
Cabinet is a secret society.
But I thought secret societies are
The priesthood is a secret society.
That's why we had to have the interrogation of the AG's statement that they are trying to figure out how to criminalize the institution,
right?
Because the church, all of these institutions you just called off, they operate in the same manner.
You take an oath. You're not going to come out of a cabinet meeting and disclose what you just discussed in that meeting. You don't do that. That's not what you signed up for. So even though you're doing the people's business, the people don't have access to all of its business. So that's a secret society.
Okay. So you're saying that secret society is not evil, right?
No. It's not good or bad. It's not evil. It's not evil or what's the word I want? Benevolent, right? Mm-hmm. It is.
Just is.
It is. The word secret itself means to secrete. We are secreting at this moment information that we have available to us to secrete. The reality of what we're secreting and its juxtaposition to what's sacred. And, you know, there are things within the Asarian Wasetian Society that I would never say on the radio, that I would never disclose.
I got to talk to you.
Because that I would never disclose. based on the fact that a person must be seen worthy to receive that information.
Carson mentioned secret words to get you to different levels.
Right.
What these levels is about. You talk about ancient knowledge. You even talk about computers. Like computers existed back in this ancient world, right? I know in the lodge now, they have different degrees. You mentioned it. But every degree you have to graduate or matriculate to.
Right.
Right? I want to know, like, is there some kind of ancient knowledge that they're separating you from? What learning, what extra from a person with a first degree turned into a master in general?
Right. So I can speak on the Atonis Nazarite Lodge, the Awas, right? Within the Awas, you are learning about the rites of Asaru and his wife Aset, who ultimately brought forth a doctrine or a way of life that allowed for us to unify with universal law. So in scripture today, they would say God is omnipotent or omnipresent or omniscient, right? This idea of being omniscient, omni, all, scient, science, knowing and understanding universal laws, okay? That is ultimately what we should be seeking, is to understand the laws of the universe, because we are children of the universe. We are children of Natoru Elohim, the complete unification of all nature. This is what was being taught within the order of Melchizedek. When you read about the Messiah being made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he is being initiated into what some today would refer to as a sacred society. He was a part of a society called, also called the Essenes. All right, they lived in an area called Qumran, near a place called Masada, which is where this fight was taking place between, they say, the Jews and the Romans. They say this was one of the last stands, right? And within that society, this Melchizedek, in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, he is after the order of the Most High. So this is where the Greco-Romans are ultimately getting the template from to create their versions of these sacred societies. I can't speak on them because I'm not a part of them. Mm-hmm. You understand? But what I can say is that when we seek this sacred information, it is supposed to assist us with changing our character. When they talk about building Solomon's temple, who some would say is actually Ramesses, one of the Ramesses, all right, who was the son of Seti Daoud, who they call David, right? And his temple being the Temple of Luxor in Africa, right? Because they've never found Solomon's temple. But they talk about this building of not just a physical temple made out of stone, but building your character, all right? Keeping yourself within due bounds, all right?
So is it joining the lodge is about building one's character?
Ultimately.
About governing yourself.
Governing yourself, the circle and the square. Keeping yourself within due bounds. At the very cap, when you get a PhD, you have a circle on your head versus the square. These are all symbols, and then the tassel represents the sun. You move it, you move the tassel from one side to the next once you've graduated, right? So all of these are symbols of these sacred societies that ultimately go back to this sacred society of the Most High, of Enneire, of the I Am.
You mentioned ancient knowledge. Mm-hmm. And the secret societies that we have, all these good fellows and masons and everything, they mention secret knowledge. Some of those secret knowledge, you see, they mention like scriptures of the Bible that most people do not have or forgotten or do not use, right? Mm-hmm. Does the African lodges or concept of lodge have secret scriptures also?
We have the seven seals. We have those seals.
The seals where Jesus was open?
The seals that should be open during the time of the Koresh consciousness. Matter of fact, let me just grab my...
You don't have a seal inside there.
I was just hoping you'd open it while I say here. But let's go to the caller while you open it. Producer, pass the caller through while Uncle's going through his bag. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green. And good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Mr. Neary, you were talking, you said something earlier about like it all sounds like fantasy and stuff like that, right? Like sci-fi and things.
Yes.
I mean, I kind of agree with you to a point in the sense that the knowledge that we need in this time is supposed to be simple, you know, whereas a child can understand it. Everyone needs to be able to understand the knowledge that we need that's supposed to set us free, the truth that's supposed to set us free. So we don't need, like you say, Neary, anything that sound a bit complicated and sci-fi-ish, right? But the thing I don't get about lodges and stuff like that, right, is this. Like how your guest just said that it's supposed to be about governing oneself, supposed to be about building character and keeping oneself in certain boundaries, right? Well, I mean, that sounds like a principle that everyone should have. You know what I mean? Why not put this knowledge then in schools? Teach the young men, you know, why not incorporate that in society? You know what I mean? Because knowledge is supposed to be free, and knowledge, lack of knowledge, is why we suffer. So I don't understand why individuals want to hold on to knowledge. What is it? I mean, is it because they want to have an advantage over everyone else? I mean, because I don't understand the whole concept of this hoarding of knowledge, like this, you know what I mean? Like, why don't teach it to everyone if it is something that is going to build character? You know what I mean? For one, that's one thing I wanted to say. When I thought that the original Masons had to do with actual builders, actual individuals who actually constructed things, I mean, I thought that's where the whole concept started from. I mean, when I hang up, I can be corrected. But I thought it was all about building. When did it turn from actual construction? When did it turn from individuals who knew how to build things to individuals who just knew how to keep certain secrets and advantages? When did it all change from building to like this different type of secretive stuff like that? I don't understand the thing. But one thing I was curious about, because I always hear people talk about the 12 tribes, right? And I always find it, I say, man, how in the world can we even, like, definitely identify 12 tribes? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, to me personally, I feel as if that would be impossible in modern times, because how in the world are you supposed to prove that? But I thought about it a little bit, right? Because, you know, I watch certain videos and things, and they talk about how, because even your guests talk about us understanding the universe, because we are part of the universe, right? So, and I saw a certain videos and thing, and they talk about how the zodiacs and the 12 signs, and that's why the number 12 is so important, is because of the zodiac, right? And I was wondering, I mean, can the 12 tribes just be the zodiacs? I mean, because then people talk about we're supposed to have 13 months, right? And then they talk about a lost tribe, right? Can the lost tribe just be a lost zodiac sign? I mean, because like I say, this thing got to be simpler, because we need to understand these end times. All right? We need to understand what to look for in our times. You know what I mean? Like the pastors nowadays, they need to focus more on revelation. They need to tell us so we can see.
That's right. That's
you know
right.
what I mean? So we can understand, so we can know what to That's look right. for. You know what I mean? We don't want to talk about no past, because even the people who we talk about in the Bible, we talk about stories where we saw people take action to make their situation better. So in our time, we need to understand these things. You know what I mean? Listen. I mean, there's so much I can say right now, but I can with this right here.
Go ahead, sorry.
In this country right here,
mm-hmm.
I feel as if these religious leaders joking. All right? Let me tell you why. Because you have Seventh-day Adventists, right, who feel as if, well, you know, you're not supposed to eat certain things, and the Bible, you know, box them up. But then they don't say nothing. They're not trying to bring some kind of common understanding where all of us say, okay, you know something, eating that swine? The Bible totally disagrees with that. But then they would sit back in a society where they would watch other leaders misquote scripture to justify eating pork.
Right.
You know, it's like we live, imagine this, I'm going to end right now, imagine this now, a book, we live in a Christian nation, right? The Bible, nowhere in there, it gives you the permission to eat pork, but they use Acts chapter 10, rise, Peter, kill and eat. For years, since I was a child, I used to hear that. And one day I read that for myself, and I was astonished, because that Acts chapter 10 doesn't have anything to do with you eating anything you want.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But yet still, in this country, it just goes to show the level of ignorance and the level of people leading us who are not qualified, because your pastor will tell you that. Look here, man. And yeah, like I say, we need to get it together on here, because we can't let people who are not like on the level of intelligence or understanding to be leading us. Baby, look here, I don't care how old you are. These older people need to sit back, because why? The babe and the suckling come to take over, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Call us here,
Mouthful. He did. And I'll start with this, because he talked about this knowledge. Before I go into those seals, right, he talked about this knowledge being taught widely. Yes? In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, the Messiah says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before a swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." The reason why we cannot come out and teach the sacred mysteries to every person as we used to do is because we've taken on the image and likeness of the beast. This idea of a swine, don't throw pearls before a swine. The mascot of Zeus is an actual swine. Mm-hmm. And so once we've taken on the mentality of Zeus, every time we bring forth the information, right, we're told, oh, it sounds like it's, what's the word you use, Neri?
Plagiarize?
No.
Oh.
He said it sounds...
Sci-fi-ish?
Sci-fi-ish, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds sci-fi-ish. It sounds like it ain't real. But if you have been living in an irreality for generation after generation, when you hear reality, it doesn't compute as reality. So, hold on, I just want to say that part.
Secondly, he talked about when did it move from building to actually working on one's character. It didn't separate per se, because at the end of the day, buildings are still being built and lodges are still operating. What we have to be aware of is that you have what's called speculative masonry and operative masonry. Speculative masonry would be today what they refer to as the lodges, whereas the operative mason is going to get his actual level, his actual trowel, his plumb line, his square, etc. He's going to actually build. We did this throughout Africa. As a matter of fact, in Benin, the walls of Benin are actually longer than the walls of Great Walls of China. Yes, mm-hmm. We see this, of course, with the pyramids. And we also call it, if you have an opportunity, you can research what's called the Temple of Mind, whereby the actual building of a temple was done in such a way to actually mimic the body. It was an actual temple dedicated to those who would understand, know thyself, not understanding how the body operates and how the kingdom of heaven within operates, because we studied the body, but we had temples dedicated to bringing that body into vibration with the universe. I see you want to get a word in here.
Well, listen, we got a caller before the... I still can't hear myself.
Oh.
Okay, good. Once you can hear me. Before the caller comes in, a quick text. You go to the caller first. The text is, here's a question. How do we know that the loyalty to these lodges do not supersede the political responsibilities of our leaders who are in these groups? And so to reiterate that, how does the Coptic Church render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's? And then the Coptic Church's approach to this solar eclipse is coming.
Sure.
And then we go to the phone line.
Sure. So.
Well, let's go to the phone line first. I can repeat.
You can repeat it then. No problem.
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Anku and CNU. Yeah, you know, the schoolmate hit the nail on the point. I think Easter Sunday was declared a World Trans Visibility Day. I don't know what type of BS is that. But, you know, I'm afraid that as far as the Lord, you know, Anku, I know about the Gnostics and the Essenes. And the Gnostics, the Pope would have sent out a decree to go and persecute them because they were living in isolation. And maybe they were a secret society, but they believed in wisdom and knowledge. But the thing is, what I'm afraid about is the lodge, right? And Anku, I learned something this morning as far as the chronology of the lodge. I thought the blacks had started it post-slavery because they were being rejected racially in America. But I learned otherwise today. But here's why I'm afraid of the lodge. Their intricate details, I mean, their intricate social cohesion and their secrecy, and for what I have seen them done with my own eyes, and I'm ashamed to say it, but femininity exists in the lodge. And they do too much hugging for me, for men. And I'm afraid of them because, the caller said, schoolmate, why, if it's beneficial to mankind, why are you holding these things in secrecy? And so when things are shrouded in secrecy is when, if you're not sharing knowledge, and then, you know, it obviously has to be an agenda. And so obviously it has to be able to control. And they look out for one another. It's very scary, and it's non-beneficial. I don't see how it could benefit us. Like I say, they hug too much for me. I can't deal with it. I'm not a weak person.
We don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. Bless him. Yeah,
respect. So,
but 52, come on, like mom who says she don't like the turn into your neighbor part of church, man. 52,
because I know we only have a little bit of time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. The reality is, we don't want to conflate matters. All right. The Greco-Romans have been known to create parallel doctrines, and they've done the same thing with their lodges. 1717. Is very, 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 very late compared to when our sacred societies, which you can research, you can look up the Porto, you can look up the Sandy societies, you can look up the Negro, or they would say the Black or Negro societies of Seville, Spain, the Moors. Mm-hmm. All right? We've had these societies way before. All right? The caller also mentioned about 12 tribes. All right. We have to understand, again, that the Greco-Romans, they had 12 Haribu dynasties, falsely called Hebrew tribes. All right. This was a number that they used. They had 12 gods and 12 goddesses called Olympians. Right. We call the three groups of 12 royal tribes. It is a symbolic tribe. It is a symbolic gesture because people will say, well, how do you know if you are of one of the 12 tribes? You're not going to be of one of those tribes because we've been mixed over the centuries with regard to slavery. However, if you are drawn to that which the 12 tribes, the three groups of 12 royal tribes, if you're drawn towards that way of life, and if you are willing and obedient, whereby you can actually research and actually understand what these three groups of 12 royal tribes were about, and you can live that life, that proves that you are of the three groups of 12 royal tribes. But I want to say also, in the garden itself, they talk about the Garden of Eden. When this reality of knowledge, again, within Christianity, they said there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2 and 16, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what the Greco-Romans put in there. However, within our sacred societies, in order for you to lead, you had to eat of these fruits, which was the knowledge. You had to learn the sacred knowledge in order to lead. Because you could not have the blind leading the blind, as we talked about in Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14. So these sacred seals that had to be unlocked, they were unlocked. They were unlocked between 1962 and 1970, all the way through to the year 2000. That's what we have as the Holy Coptic Church. You're saying in one breath, all of this information should be taught. But when people come to teach it, you don't embrace it. So at this point, caller, and everybody else who says we should be learning this information, the onus is on you. The onus is on you because the seals have been unbroken. We have the seals. We have the knowledge. And we have that which is sacred so that those who have been called, many are called, few are chosen. They will receive. Because once you learn that information, you're responsible for it. That's why we don't give it to everybody.
I want to talk about signs and wonders. This is an eclipse coming soon, Aaron.
This is a solar eclipse. So,
and I want to know if that's any particular sign. Because the church ain't talking about no thing of this.
I just need,
these are regular things happening.
I just need BPL to know that this don't have anything to do with them.
And I want to quote C. Allen Johnson at this present time, say, people often remain in the dark, not due to lack of light, but the failure to open up their eyes.
Ah, right? There you go. I said the same thing just
and
now.
And I'm trying to say, now do I realize that Easter happens on after the eclipse or what, or certain days or equinox?
The first full moon after the vernal equinox.
You know, that these are specific days where I have specific, in my word, magic or powers, right, that these things happen. I want to know if these signs and wonders in the sky have any social significance, any magic significance, any power significance. When does the eclipse happen, Aaron?
April 8th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to April 8th? You know, blood moon, right? Because I'm scared of blood moon.
But listen, the things that people are saying are going to happen. There's one set of people saying that Nibiru, Planet X, is on its regular approach.
But he's saying that for centuries, man.
I mean, but that's how maybe that's how long it takes for the route. Sometimes
no,
the
call
12
it by what season or what else? The New Jerusalem. These people say they're waiting for the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21.
Is the New Jerusalem coming?
It isn't fair to have these scriptures in your Bible. And then when people start to talk about these things, call it spooky and call it sci-fi. In your Bible, Revelation 21 talks about a new
Jerusalem coming on its way.
I didn't say that. I'm saying she mentioned that that's what people are saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just making reference to the fact that this Nibiru or Reis Manjet in the Bible is called the New Jerusalem, which is mentioned in Revelation 21. All right?
Interesting.
So continue, Aaron, and then I'll
I want to know what is eclipse.
Right, some scientists say, well, some my learned degreed friends will say, some pseudoscientists say that the impact of Nibiru on Earth's and on the solar system and on Earth itself will cause tumultuous environmental events, including 3 days of darkness. That's the part where I tell BPL, because BPL is going to say that you're in the dark, not because there's no light, but because you don't want to open your wallet. I don't want BPL to tell me that.
They said that during 2000, so all kind of things not could work in the year 2000. Nothing happened. I was on my computer reaching that.
It's not that nothing happened. It's that what they ultimately said was going to. Remember 2000, Jesus was supposed to come.
Yeah, he didn't come. All right.
You don't know.
So, he might have come, so and we just don't know. Yeah. We might be left here. Oh, Lord.
Right.
I'm with you all.
You tell me don't talk to
strangers.
There
you go, right?
I thought I was going to be up.
So these phenomena are happening every day. Because the media chooses one of these phenomena to focus on, there are solar flares that have more impact on humanity than one solar eclipse or lunar eclipse.
Now, hold on. Mm-hmm. These people say that the solar eclipse is going to pass through, I think, seven towns named Nineveh, one named Salem, one named Egypt, New Egypt or Little Egypt. I'm concerned.
Sounds sci-fi-ish to me.
So the reality is, within scripture, we learn about these, what the Native Americans and even the Africans refer to as the seven thunders. And these seven thunders include earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, depletion of the ozone layer, seasons being out of sync, and countless man-made diseases shall be brought upon humanity as the great alignment of planets occurs as a warning to all members of humanity who choose to take heed. So the universe has a clock. Matter of fact, there are three clocks. We talked about these cycles last week. And for those who are studying and actually taking the time to learn about what Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 says, that these planetary bodies would be for signs and for seasons. So the church should be talking about these signs and seasons, because again, in this scripture, it's saying to you that you should understand what these signs and seasons actually mean. The only way you can do that, however, is if you have an understanding of the Dendera. And the Dendera is what the sacred societies study.
The three wise men that visited Jesus, they part of the lodge?
Yes, they were part of the 24 elders of that day and time. They were called wise before what Greco-Romans referred to as Christianity even existed. So why were they wise? Because they had a society that was aligned with nature and understood things that the Greco-Romans to this day still don't probably understand.
Interesting, Aaron.
Very interesting. So interesting. Look at next week, Doctor. Mm. Could we talk about Europeans in this, and how Europeans who refer to themselves as white are suffering in a similar way, not exactly the same, from Africans who call themselves black because they have no indigenous history or culture to connect to.
Mm. That's deep. Okay, that's deep. This has been Guided Radio AM.
It may help people reconcile with the conversation that we have.
Right.
Why we consider ourselves black, and why would they consider themselves white?
Why do Europeans cling to the title white? Well, it's because they, like many Africans who lost the lineage through the transatlantic slavery, Europeans had a similar experience where their indigenous cultures were burnt out too.
They're brainwashed. Anyway, thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you very much, Namaste, Dr. Cleveland.
Thank you.
Aeneas III. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, with Man Down, Mashup Wednesday, where we analyze the news with Aaron Green on the Clock Radio show, right? Anyway, have a wonderful day. Thank you.